That was good, other than the teddy
bear
part.
We have had the Reverend Chuck Price.
Yes, it's too old to argue. Amen. Good morning, church.
This weekend.
God bless you. God bless you. And it's good to have my lady with me.
Chuck is.
We just celebrated 47 years of marriage.
I think he's going to probably mention a little bit about this.
Clap for her, please.
He has a ministry called Reapers in the
Rain. My birthday is September 4th, and our anniversary is the 9th. And so every birthday, I just stop by Shoppers and get a sympathy card.
All across Canada.
So it works out really well.
Sharing the good news of Christ.
I'm not around a lot, so that helps.
Pouring into leaders.
When it comes to coming east,
she
likes to come with me. And tomorrow we're going to head off to PEI.
Incredible.
You ever been there?
Heart, loves
of course you
people,
have. Right? It's like,
towards
and
Christ.
We have family there, and then we're going to do some preaching in Charlottetown.
He's a big teddy bear.
Yeah, with Pastor Matt Moss.
So I just really appreciate Chuck, who's here with his wife,
Pastor
Trish, as well. Chuck, come on up.
We oversee a ministry, a Canadian nonprofit, not-for-profit, called Reapers in the Rain International. So what we do is we just travel, we wander. It's a faith-based, and I have no sob story. God's been good to us. God's been faithful. So I say thank the Lord. So we spent a fair bit of time in Cuba. I'll be going back November 1st. I have a team going with me. This is our 32nd trip, I think, and then going back in February because I like rice and beans, and sometimes rice and fish. But, you know, they just bless us. Whatever they have, they put out. And we're not there for vacation. We fly in Saturday. We come back out Saturday. And we try to be tourists. The government knows who I am. They can kick me out any time they see fit. And we'll go find another place to work. But we just wander in, get packed, reset. We carry a lot of stuff with us. And we've been buying houses. We bought 42 houses since 2017. And then we flipped them into house churches with the Assemblies of God of Cuba. Not the Assemblies of God of the States, but the Assemblies of God of Cuba. And why them? Because I understand their doctrinal base, because it's much like the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And so I can wander in and out understanding their doctrinal base. That's why. And so then they move a pastor in, and they have a house to live in. And then we hollow out the front that's not load-bearing. And they have services. So I can't preach outdoors. I can't do some of the things I do in Canada because it's illegal. You understand, it's a communist, atheistic country. If you've been to a resort, that's awesome. And I know Canadians, they love us there. Like the Cubans love us. And so when you go, I know you pack a little something special for the people, and I get that. And they're great people. And they're just great people. So I'm thankful, praise God. And so we go and we get the houses prepped, and we're going to do some renovations. We buy and do all that neat stuff. Then we have fishing boats. We have two fishing boats. I got this little one that thought it could actually catch fish, but the fish were bigger than the 18-foot boat. And so the Cuban fisherman sent me a picture one night. He said, Pastor Chuck, you know, he said, we have a problem. I said, what's the problem? He's like, well, you know, we had this fish online. He says, the fish was going this way. You know, the boat was going this way. So I said, well, who won? He said, the fish. So we had to cut the fish off because, you know, we had to keep the boat. So now we got a bigger boat. We got a bigger boat. This one, it's three cylinders. So I can't preach outdoors. I didn't expect you to be impressed. I really didn't. But the other one had a one cylinder. It's like having your ATV on the ocean, right? It's a one cylinder, but it just couldn't do it. The three cylinder. And as we're buying the boat off this captain, he says, you know, mister, he said, the government doesn't like us to have fast boats. You know, it takes me a minute, like some of you, Mr., you know, a bit of a brick, right? So then I start laughing. I say, how come? Because Miami's like 93 kilometers away. He goes, yep, that's the answer. Yeah, so I expect the boat someday to be in Miami Harbor, and I get a phone call saying the Reapers and the Rainboats floating around here. What do you want to do? I'll volunteer to go get it. Hallelujah. Go down to Miami and bring her back. We have sewing centers. We have 15 sewing centers, anything to create sustainable income. I have no desire to feed people. But if I can get you a boat, you can build an income and bless your family and bless your community and bless your church. I think that's cool. The sewing centers are up and running. As fast as I can get sewing machines in there, they're up and running. We have a hair salon. We have, I'm missing some. Oh, a laundromat. Because it's good to have clean clothes once in a while. Hallelujah. So we have a laundromat. The pastor's wife runs that. And while the laundry's being done, she shares the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lady or the guy that's there from town. We have a banana plantation and a pig farm. Because everybody likes bacon and bananas. Hallelujah. So maybe not together, but it's just a lot of fun, church. And it's way better than pastoring. I enjoyed the 24 years, but this is just funner. This is just funner. It's gooder and gooder. So I'm thankful. Then we do a two-day leadership conference with pastors and leaders, and then we fly home Saturday. So that's like the week. We work on site. We do three services, a conference for 2 days, service Friday night, get on the plane Saturday. And as tourists, right? But we're sober and our hair's not braided.
I have no desire to see people.
Well, you see why. So, okay. And so we just have a great time. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. We take guys and gals, and the work is simple. And here's why I do it, because 30% goes to employment for those who are working. 30% goes to materials like oil, gas, material, diesel, needles, hair salon equipment. 40% goes back into ministry. So 40% goes back into ministry. So while I'm here this morning, you know, those dollars are being impacted into children's ministry, youth ministry, women's ministries, evangelism, and that goes on day in and day out. So I like that church. I like that. And so if I feed you today, I got to keep living because you probably want to eat tomorrow.
Right,
so I just think this is a good way to do things. It works for me. And so that's kind of what we do when we're not over there. We've been to a fair bunch of other countries, and we've been crisscrossing Canada this month, been out to Port Hardy and to Sydney and then Northern Ontario, now here, and then, of course, capping it off in Prince Edward Island. That's a cool place, isn't it, Jody? He lives there. Okay, so he thinks it's cool. I got a scripture I want to share with you today. Is that all right? I think that's why you came. We've got worship and word, and now we need the witness of the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts and our lives. And I pray that today. And so in Acts chapter 1, if you'd allow me just to read to you just for a moment, and it's a very simple passage of scripture, and if I could, I'd like to bring it to your attention. It says this in verse 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all these that Jesus began to do. I wrote about all the things Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. Church, I think that's significant that he didn't talk about his ministry. He didn't talk about a church. He talked about the kingdom of God. Can I just encourage you today that God has given you the keys to the kingdom, not the church?
He lives there. Okay.
So if I ever went back to pastoring, the one thing I don't want are the keys to the church. Because as a key holder, if something happens, I get called at 2 a.m. Right, so I'm not interested. I'm too old for that foolishness. But I wouldn't mind some keys to the kingdom. But Jesus Christ said he's already given you the keys to the kingdom. He's already said that in the book of Matthew. He's given you the keys to the kingdom. And so somewhere on your spiritual key ring is a key that can unlock some doors. Can I just tell you, Mom, you know, we can kind of kick down the gates of hell in the name of Jesus. You don't have to kick down the gates of hell because you've got a key. I mean, if you need the workout, go for it. But, you know, why ruin a good pair of shoes? I'm just saying, you've got keys. You've got spiritual keys. Yeah, I've got spiritual keys that can unlock doors. But they're to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of God. How big is your God today? I'm going to say this line and I'll move on. The kingdom of God does not have a local address.
Can I just encourage you today that God has given you the keys to the
I'll give you that. I really like you. The kingdom of God does not have a local address. You are. The kingdom indwells with you. The church is people. The church is people. One of the things I love about Cuba, they never ask how big is your church. Well, I don't pastor. I don't really make it to our home church a whole lot. But they never ask how big is your church. You know what they ask? How healthy is your church? Isn't that a great question? Because you know and I know, I'd rather take 50 healthy people that are healthy spiritually than 500 that are fighting. 400, 300. I'd rather take the 50 that are, okay, Chucky boy, let's get our boots on and get her done, than have 500 people. That's great on a Sunday morning, and it looks good online, but you know what? Give me the 50 people that are loving Jesus and willing to move forward in the power of Jesus Christ. Come on, church, that'll work. That'll work. How healthy is your church? And the second question they ask is, how's your family? How's your family? And that's about it when it comes to the church. They're not really interested in church size. They're not really interested in how big is your building. It's like, how healthy is your church, and how is your lady? How are your kids? How are your grandbabies? That's really important to them, church. I think we need to adopt some of that in our own hearts, in our own Canadian culture, because the kingdom of God is big. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Did I mention it's a command? Did I read that to you? Of course I did. It's a command. It's a command. He lays it out there and he says this in the command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised you. You have heard me speak about. For when John baptized with water, he's going to do it in a few days, and you will be baptized. In a few days, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time to restore the kingdom of Israel? They were missing it. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses to Jerusalem, to Bathurst, into all the area, all this to Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth. That's our eight verses this morning that I just want to bring some things to your attention from this particular portion of Scripture. Our last general conference for the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada was in Niagara Falls. It's a great place. Have you been? It's one of the wonders of the world, right? And so it's a great place. Very romantic. Okay, sir, I'm just throwing it out there. You got to do something with that, right? So, you know, the lights are on at night. The Canadian side is way better than the American side. Just way better. So it's nice. It's nice. And so we got 3,000 preachers there, credential holders and services, and we got some business to contend to and resolutions to work through, and it's really not a lot of fun. So, you know, the sessions are good, the services are good, but on the business end, I'm like, you know, but it's Niagara Falls. So if you're bored inside, just walk out the door. Hallelujah. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I think there was a spiritual significance there that we missed, though. I think there was a spiritual significance there of the power of Niagara Falls. Of the power of Niagara Falls. You see, being a tourist, I mean, millions of people come every year to Niagara Falls, and it's beautiful to look at, but it generates awesome power. You know, one quarter of Ontario it receives power from that generator along the banks of Niagara Falls. Also, New York State. That's a lot of homes, that's a lot of businesses, that's a lot of people. And so while we stand there and admire the beauty of Niagara Falls, it generates a lot of power. Generates a lot of power. And I was looking at that and thinking about that as we were there and as we left, I thought, man, you know, it's like Niagara Falls. It's great. It's cool. It's wonderful. But, so is what God has to offer us. And sometimes we can go to church because of the programs and the giftings and. But we miss the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. See, he also generates a lot of power. He also generates power in your life, power to be, not power to do stuff. Don't buy into that program. I don't want to be busier. I want to be what God wants me to be. Ministry will look for you when you find your place in God.
Being a tourist, I mean, millions of people come every year to.
I'll be back. I'm going to try it over here. Okay, so. Ministry will look for you. People will come to you. You don't have to get a business card out. You don't have to have a letterhead. People will come to you. You have a circle of influence that I've never met them. I've never met them. You have a circle of influence that I'll never meet. You know, when I'm flying, when I'm on an airplane and it's long, it's like 19 hours to wherever I'm going or 10 hours or whatever, you know, and if I'm tired, I get on the airplane and if I don't want to talk, I just sit down and go, hi, my name's Chuck Price. I'm a Pentecostal minister. That usually ends the conversation right there. I had one lady get up and move her seat. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Two seats for this Irish Welsh bottom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Favor of God. If I want to talk, I go, hi. Because sooner or later, they go, what do you do for a living? That's a guy thing, right? What do you do for a living? I breathe.
I don't want to be busier.
What do you do for a living? See, well, I'm a CEO, I'm an over executive director of a Canadian nonprofit. Da-da-da-da-da. I begin to share and tell. I usually leave with their business card. They don't want to hear about Jesus, but they like the humanitarian side. You have a circle of influence that God has given you for divine purpose. You have people in your circle of influence that God brings into your life. Every day is a passing opportunity. Opportunities will come and they will go. And if you actually believe that Jesus Christ orders your footsteps, not your kilometers, not your miles, but if you actually believe that Jesus Christ orders your footsteps, then I would suggest that everybody that comes into your life, there's a divine plan and a divine purpose. Church, it could be a smile. It could be a God bless you. It could be something, just something that would speak life into someone's dead, someone who's suffering, someone who's hurting. It doesn't take a whole lot to be nice. There was a store at Christmas time, they put out an advertisement among their staff saying, what can we do to win sales? And the opportunity for $5,000 was the gift if you came up with the right answer. You know who won? A young lady said, you know what we should do? We should say thank you. The woman won $5,000 for being polite. Right? I mean, that should be understood. You're a consumer. There's other places you could go. I understand that. But church, God brings people into your life for divine purpose. There's a flow of God within your heart and your life. And I say, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. You know, I appreciate Niagara Falls and its power. But you know what? The people that live there really experience. They really experience the power that we as tourists don't have. And wouldn't it be sad if we had more tourists in the New Testament church than we had residents? Oh, yeah, I was going somewhere. Wouldn't that be sad if we were just tourists? We were just tourists as a Christian, kind of blowing through. And I don't want to be like that. I don't want to play that game. I know you don't have to be Spirit-filled to go to heaven, but you need to know Holy Ghost to get through the week. Listen, church, I'm a believer that when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came in. If you believe in the triune, if you are God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, gal or guy, then everything you need is within reach. Like the infilling's already there, you just haven't spoken in tongues. The fruits are already there, the gifts are already there, because they all abide in the person of the Holy Spirit. And if you believe that the Holy Spirit came in the day you got saved, everything you need today is within you. Your prayers don't have to make it to heaven because Jesus Christ who sits to the right hand of the Father, I get that. But Jesus also lives inside of you. He lives inside of you. From the day you uttered a prayer and gave your life to Jesus Christ, the power of God is inside of you to be. To be, not to do stuff, right? Just to be what God wants you to be. And I say, Father, would you help us that way? Everything you need, everything. The denomination that I hold credentials with, you know, we spent a little over 100 years talking about initial evidence of speaking in tongues, and that's great, that's fine. But initial means beginning. It means beginning. So now we're over 100 years old, and it's like getting your beginner's license. But at some time, you got to move on. You got to move through. And at church, I got to tell you, initial needs to move to fullness. Initial needs to move to fullness. Language needs to move to life. There's a life in the Holy Spirit. There's a life to be what God wants you to be, a life. I don't use the word Pentecostal overseas because it conjures up a bunch of goofy stuff about us handling snakes and doing all. I don't even like snakes, but they got a little bit of internet overseas and they see some guy way down and whatever and he's handling a snake. I'm like, I don't use that word. I don't even like snakes.
The power of God is inside of you to be.
You know what I call us? Holy Ghost people. We're just Holy Spirit people. We're just Holy Spirit people. Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Well, there's no arguments with that. And I say, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. But church, we need more than initial. We need more than the gateway, the runway. We need more than just the moment. See that lady right there? You know how I met her? I met her in a prayer meeting. So guys, if you're looking for a wife, you need to attend prayer meetings. I met her in a prayer meeting. I was praying. I was in Bible college. I was praying for China. Right? And then Trish the Dish, she walked in late. I was at the back door because when you walk in the late and you're at the back door, you get to leave early. I was praying for China. Somebody brushed by my legs. I looked up and I thought, boy, that girl's hot. You can say that when you're 19. I'm 68. I still say it. Hallelujah. That was the initial look. I married her 4 months later.
I'm like, I don't use that word. I don't even like it.
Hey, I'm right here. Was that a groan I heard?
You know what I call us? Holy Ghost people.
Well, if she got to know me, I didn't stand a chance. Love is blind, Bubba. Fly right in there and take advantage of it. Glory to God. That was 47 years ago. Question.
We need more than the gateway.
Do you think it was the initial look that's kept us 47 years?
Right there. You know how I met her? I met her in a prayer meeting.
Through the ups and downs. Raising a family.
You need to attend prayer meetings.
A few heartaches along the way.
I met her in a prayer meeting. I was in Bible college.
Do you think it was the initial look that's kept us 47 years, or do you think it's the fullness of the relationship?
She walked in late.
Christian?
I was at the back.
It's not going to be the initial. You got to move on from that. You got to move on from that. You need to begin to walk in the fullness of your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right?
Speaking in tongues doesn't make you better than other Christians. It ought to make you better. I'll nod for you. I'm not going to wait for you. There are new two classes of Christians. those who do and those who don't. Everything you need and dwells within you today if you believe in the triune. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit abides with me. He's so cool he can sit beside his Father and still live inside of every one of us. Aren't you glad that God's omnipresent today? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is omnipresent today? Aren't you glad the devil's not? Oh, you got that one already. Hallelujah. We can move on. I'm so glad. I meet Christians all over the place that think the devil and Jesus are on the same level. No, I meet them. I'm glad. You're probably the first audience that I've jumped on that. Seriously. Seriously, I appreciate that. I love you for it. But I meet Christians all over that think that Jesus and the devil are like this. And so, you know, they're kung fu fighting early in the morning, and if Jesus is winning, then pull the covers off and get up and shower. If the devil's winning, just stay in bed. Just stay in bed. I'm thinking, what Bible are you reading, buddy? What Bible are you reading? You know what my Bible says about our God? Our God's far above every principality and power and might and dominion in this world and the one to come. Like, that's who you're serving today, just in case you need to be reminded. I don't have new revelation today. I have confirmation for your spirit today. I have confirmation that God's doing a work in your life, and sometimes we don't see it. But I'm telling you, God's up to something good here in Canada, and I want in. I want in. Church, there's been a shift the last number of months. If you haven't noticed, there's been a shift in the spirit realm. There's been a shift. There's been an open attack now on Christians. There's been an open attack on... I get that. But you know what? The church is always growing during persecution. We don't do well when we got it all together. We got our bucks, our bronze, and our beauty, and our calm, cool, and collect, and our charisma. We don't do well with that stuff. Sir, we'll do well when you realize without him you can do nothing. Take a breath. You can't do that if he didn't live. See this? See this movement? As spasmodic as it is? See that movement? That's proof that Jesus lives. That's proof that Jesus... That's proof that Jesus lives. Because you know the verse and I know the verse. We move and breathe and exist in him. Outside of him there is nothing. So when you made your first 100,000 or 200,000, I appreciate that fact. But guess whose air you were breathing? Guess whose planet you were walking on? Just here to remind you today. I'm not here to punish you today. Just here to remind you today that we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a luxury. He is a necessity. He's a necessity. We need the Holy Spirit. So speaking in tongues is not an end result. It's not an end result. Speaking in tongues is not an end result. Something is wrong if the only evidence of being spirit-filled in your life is speaking in tongues. Something's desperately wrong. Some of the meanest people in our churches speak in tongues.
Take a breath. You can't do that if he didn't live.
Some of the meanest people. Come on, church. My father was a minister. Many of you knew him, Lori. I worked with Hope Smith. Traveled up and down through here just loving on you. My mother was an ordained minister. My grandpa T.A. Strong was, I think he pastored here at one point. He was in ministry. My sister's married ministers. You shake the family tree, a bunch of ministers fall out in their rear end. Our dog's name was Rev. We had it all covered. Church, I've been around a little while. I grew up through the charismatic movement of the 70s in downtown Toronto. I saw thousands of our Catholic brothers and sisters come in. Thousands and thousands. Wednesday night Bible study was 1,500. Sunday morning was 1,800. Sunday night was 2,200. Yes, Sunday night service, 2,200 people. Saw people heal. Saw stomach cancers come up. Eyes open. The real deal stuff, church. Like the real deal stuff. I was ruined by the Holy Spirit at a young age when I wasn't even serving the Lord. I just saw too much to deny him. St. Mike's, three blocks away, St. Mike's Hospital, has been our message. Thank God. Church, there was a time when the Baptists came to the table and they brought something. The Wesleyan came to the table and they brought something. Whoever, they brought something to the table. The Pentecostals brought something to the table. And now we get together and it's like we all brought the same thing. I'm preaching at a church and they announced a potluck lunch. I call this lucky if it doesn't go to your pot. There was no sign-up sheet, so we went downstairs, and guess what? There was no sign-up sheet. Everyone brought lettuce and bread. Lettuce, not even a carrot. There wasn't a stick of meat anywhere. There was nothing. Why? Because nobody signed up. Nobody knew what everyone else did. There was a time where, you know what, we brought different things to the table, and together we had something to eat. With our other denominations, with our other fellowships, with our other Christian brothers and sisters. And now today we just kind of all get together and it's like whatever's on the table. No, let's bring the real deal. Church, it's not our buildings that has brought us this far. It's not our education that has brought us this far. It's not our programs that has brought us this far. It's the message and the person and the passion and the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, Holy Spirit, you got to deal with that at some point in your life. You got to deal with that. It's a message, the distinctive of who we are in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God. You know, so I appreciate initial, but I want more than my beginner's license. I want fullness. I want something bigger. When our son Matthew was born, I used to spend hours teaching him how to say mama.
Downstairs, and guess what?
Very selfish, I know, ma'am. Very selfish of me to do that. Thank you very much. Those were his first initial words. He didn't know what my name was because it was nine.
There wasn't a stick of meat anywhere.
All he could do was mama, 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 which was cool at 2 a.m.
You know what? We brought different things to the table, and together we had something.
Yeah, I shouldn't do that. Some of you are thinking, what a heel you are, Chuck. It was cool at 4 o'clock in the morning because the only name he could hear, mama, 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 that's all he had. But you know what? He began to grow up. He began to grow up, and he added some other words like no. Here's the other one. Mine. He owned everything in the world. Mine. Mine. One and a half. Owned everything in the world. Mine. 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 It's amazing how that happens. Mine. Mine. You know, he grows up, and I'm thankful for it. So he began to grow. He learned other words, and he powered up. He learned how to roll over, sit up, crawl, go downstairs on his belly. You try that now today, sir. Yeah, flop down on his belly. That was pretty cool. He bounced in his jolly jumper till he knocked the thing over. He stood up. You know, he took a few steps with the help of furniture. It's amazing how we used to punish our kids. They'd be bumping their head off the furniture. Come to daddy, come to daddy. Twack, off the side of that. Come to daddy. At church, at some point, we got to stand on our own. At some point, you have to walk in your gifting. At some point, you have to walk in your character. At some point, you have to walk in what God has for you. You have to walk without hanging on to somebody else. And that's what God's looking for today. Is that your relationship would be deep and firm. You'd be rooted, not just branches, not just reputation, but character underground. So when the wind blows, you don't get taken away. The character of what God wants for our lives. Hear my heart. Speaking in tongues is a part of my life. And I thank God. But we need more than initial. It's got to turn to fullness. Fullness. Spirit baptism is a gateway, a necessity, not a luxury. And I say, thank God, like the Great Commission. This is a command, verse 4. He gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the promise, not the promise of my Father. Right? It's more than just a one-off experience. It's more than just a, Holy Spirit's not an experience. He's God. I don't walk around people while I experience Jesus once. I experience Jesus every day. I experience God once. No. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. You experience the Holy Spirit every day of your life. Every day of your life. Who is it that reveals the deep things of God? Holy Spirit. How about that verse you read last week for the 110th time and all of a sudden something new jumped off the page? Holy Spirit. Church, I'd rather see you read two verses a day than six chapters a day and then close the Bible and not pay any attention. I'd rather see you read two verses and apply it somewhere in the course of the 24/7 God gives you. I'd rather have you read two verses and read those two verses and go to how, Father, help me this week to apply this to someone I meet. How is this going to become alive? The Word and Jesus are synonymous. So if you're going to spend time in the Word, you get to know Jesus. And I say, thank the Lord. I want God. I want to be. I want to be. I want the manifestations of God. But church, it's no sense just simply knowing what He can do and not knowing Him. Too much, too fast.
He's God. I don't walk around people while I experience Jesus once. I experience Jesus every day. I experience God once.
We have some people in the church that know His manifest presence,
every day of your life,
but don't know Him.
Every day of your life. Who is it that reveals the deep things of God? Holy Spirit. How about that verse you read last week?
They don't know Him.
The 110th time, and all of a sudden something new jumped.
Your favorite athlete. You appreciate their talent? You appreciate his or her gifts? It's one of your favorite sports? You really don't know Him. Or her. But you know what they can do on the field. You know what they can do on the court. You know what they can do on the ice. Child of God, here's my thought. If you get to know Holy Spirit, you'll want everything He has for you. If you get to know Him. Because you've seen Him move doesn't mean you know Him. Because you've sensed His manifest presence. You can speak in tongues and not know the Holy Spirit. Am I picking on you guys too much? Could I go over here now? You can speak in tongues and not know the Holy Spirit. You want to know why, sir? Because speaking in tongues is a gift. Reapers gets gifts every month in mail or Interact or whatever. I don't know who the person is, But I appreciate their gift. They're investing into reapers and a project or whatever. I'm not here to sell that. But I don't know the person. I've never met the person. I couldn't put a name to their face or a face to their name. But I appreciate their gift. Are you getting it? Like, I appreciate their gift, but I don't know who they are. And so you can play that game and go down that road. I'm just simply saying, well, you want to go deep in what God has for your life, and I pray that God would bring you to a place in your life where you just say, Holy Spirit, I need to get to know you. If I'm going to serve Jesus, I need the Holy Spirit. He's like Johnny the Baptist. He's like the forerunner of Jesus. He's the one that, the Word of God says that Jesus doesn't have fellowship with darkness. Well, somebody did that night to go get you. Like somebody had to walk into darkness and go, hey, come on out of there. I want to introduce you to someone. His name is Jesus. I'm thinking the whole, you say, Chuck, you're playing now. I'm just saying, Holy Spirit doesn't mind walking into darkness, because if that's where you are, He loves you enough to bring you out. I want you to meet the light. I want you to be salt. I want you to meet Jesus, who can forgive you of your sins, who will love you like nobody else. And I say, thank God for that. Church, there's a disconnect between Acts 1:8 and Acts chapter 2, inspired speech and living and inspired living. We've lost something or somebody over the years and tried to replace the void with human abilities and resources. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. The raw numbers don't back up our profession of our practice. We're not seeing people come to Jesus Christ. We're not winning the lost. We're not fulfilling the Great Commission. We're not doing it. And I really believe it was God's will and God's thought when He left and told the disciples to go, that He actually thought we'd take serious the Great Commission. He actually thought we'd get her done. Hallelujah. I want you to understand, in this portion of Scripture, Holy Spirit gives you power. The Great Commission gives you authority. It's in the book, church. God talks about authority. I've got the authority. You go in my name. You go in my name. Power without authority is dangerous. Authority without power is dangerous. Like some of you go to work, you have a name tag. And when you flash that name tag, you're allowed into the building. If I showed up, I wouldn't get in the building. You get to move around from wing to wing. You get to use the elevator or the escalator because you've got the pass. You've got what it takes. When you've got the Holy Spirit alive and active in your life, you've got the right name. You got the right name tag. And I'm just saying there's a power and authority. You got to have both. I won't travel with men and women that just want power. They want some of the fruits, but all of the gifts, because it sells ministry. They want the revelation gifts. They want the power gifts. They want the utterance gifts. But when it comes to the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the temperance, they're not interested in that. They want platform gifts. Church, we've reached a place in our society today in the church where you should have reached that our private fruits ought to be greater than our public gifts. If your character isn't bigger than your ministry, it's not going to work. Well, you're getting quiet on me now. Are we done? Should I just slap some oil on you and we'll get out of here? I'm concerned, church, that if we don't move with the Holy Spirit in these last days, we're going to get left behind. And if the church gets left behind, don't think for a moment because you hang a shingle out front that says the first church of the frozen chosen, that heaven recognizes it. The government might recognize it. You might get tax benefits. You might get all that stuff and status. We're probably going to lose that stuff. I'm not going to, shouldn't probably say that, but you know what? You're just going to have to give because you want to give, like other countries. But just because we hang a shingle out front that says church doesn't mean heaven recognizes it. Some of our churches, unfortunately, I'm in a different pulpit every week of my life somewhere in the world. Some of our churches are no more than clubs. They're no more than culture clubs. They're no more than clubs. I've been there, done that, got the scars, church. I'm just saying God wants to empower us at this moment, at this time, to move forward and fulfill the Great Commission in authority and power. Authority and power. You don't have to be the brightest bulb in the room, but you do need to shine. You do need to shine. See these exit signs? I think there's two seven and a half watt bulbs. Only 15 watts in those exit signs. They don't brighten up the room, but if we lost power, that little light would make a difference. You don't have to be a 100-watt bulb. You don't have to be a 250. When people are in darkness, 2 7.5-watt bulbs will do. 15. 15 will make a huge difference in people's hearts and lives, church. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit wants to take us and use us where we're at. You know why God uses me? Don't answer that. Even wondering myself, I know. Because because of my charm and charisma? Don't laugh too hard, please. You know why God uses me? Because people are dying and going to hell. Would you take the pressure off yourself today to perform and to do stuff and just relax and be what God wants you to be in your relationship? God can use you where you're at. He knows you're never going to be perfect. Sorry to tell you that. He knows that. But God will use you where you're at. Your mess becomes your message because your neighbor is dying and going to hell. Yeah. So Holy Spirit wants to do a work in our hearts and our lives this morning, wants us to power up and be what God wants us to be in these last days with a fresh anointing. And I say, thank God. There's two words in the English that can translate to our word power. Exousia is the one word. It's exertion, not simply strength, but authority. Power that is given to someone by another person. Hallelujah. Power. And authority to be. Acts 1:7, His authority, His own authority He gives to us. Matthew 28:18, all authority. I like that, church. We have authority in Jesus' name. Glory to God. One of the things the devil has tried to rip apart in our nation of Canada, it just tear apart, and in some ways we've lost this. We've lost our identity. We got people today that don't know who they are. They don't know what they are. The devil's behind that. And people, you lose your identity. When you don't know who you are, we talked about it Friday night, you'll abuse yourself. When you don't know your purposes, you'll bounce from this to this to this to this to this to this because you don't know your function. You're looking for somebody else to help you find purpose, and that's not going to happen. You got to have 2 feet flat in the ground to walk in. And I'm just saying, the devil is trying to rob our identity and our authority. Oh, Chucky boy, I failed. I lost my authority. No, you didn't. It's not in the book. Church, I've failed too. You see these hands? They've done things they shouldn't have done. See these feet? They've gone places they shouldn't have gone. See these eyes? See these ears? See these mouths? All those things have messed up. And yet God is still my Father. Jesus Christ still lives inside of me, and the Holy Spirit still loves me. Hallelujah. So there's no gold star this morning for failure. We've all failed and fallen short of the glory of God. But it takes faith to rise up this morning and be what God wants you to be through the person of the Holy Ghost. And that's what I'm after this morning, that you wouldn't allow your past to be your future. Church, we all have a four-letter word we don't like to use. We all have a past. Say, Chucky boy, it's not my past, it's my present. It doesn't have to be in the next half hour. You're blessed by your choices. Stop blaming people. Knock it off. You're blessed by your choices or you're cursed by your choices. Yours. You speak life or you speak death. That's your decision. Don't be blaming the devil. He's not in the country. You already told me he's not omnipresent. You know, sir, you can make your wife more beautiful than she is. You want to hear some of my lines? They're really good. Ma'am, you can make your husband more handsome than he really is. You know how? This is not me kissing you. This is me speaking. Trish? The dish? When God made you, He took a little extra time. Come on, that was good. That was one of my better ones. Oh, it's too late. That smattering of applause doesn't matter. Power is in the tongue. And that's why Holy Spirit for years has tried to take that rudder that steers the ship. Just a little rudder that steers this huge, huge ship. Just a little nothing in the water. And God wants to take this rudder. Church, think about it. God uses this mouth that has cursed His name, that has told dirty stories, that the first time I really talked to God was I used His name in vain. Been there? It was still a conversation, sir. And now I have the privilege today to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and travel and share with people that haven't had the opportunities that you and I have. I haven't forgotten that. With this mouth, I get to bless a nation. With this mouth, I get to speak life. With this mouth, I get to have a little fun. With this mouth, come on, church. God wants to take this unruly member and do something with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So allow Holy Spirit to be what he wants to be in your heart and your life. You have this power. You have this authority. The second meaning of that word power is that word dunamis, which is dynamite. You know, it's not meant to blow up things. That's not the power that we're talking about. But there's a power in the word dynamite, not to blow up things, but to strengthen the ability, the equip to encourage gifts, fruits, walk, talk. You know, Jesus wants us to have his strength and ability to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I say, thank God. Church, we've not been called to live for Jesus on our own. One of the hardest things to be right now is a Christian without the help of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to live for Jesus without help. I don't know about you, but I've had the joy of living with me for a lot of decades. And I know what I'm capable of with him. And I know what I'm capable without him. I choose with him. When I walked away from God when I was 16, shook my fist at him and said, screw you, I'll never serve you a day of my life. And I cussed every word I knew and probably made up some new ones. Shook my fist at him and said, you can take a hike. Lori's father was killed that night, earlier that night, coming home from church. A car accident. I'm 16, he was 51. I shook my fist at God. I was immature. I couldn't handle it. And it sent me on a temper tantrum for the next couple of years. I can look you in the eye today and say no matter where I went, what trouble I got into, how much I drank, or wherever I put my body, the Holy Spirit was always there. He was always there. In fact, he was always with me that my buddies didn't like to go drinking with me because by the end of the night, I'd be talking about Jesus at the bar. Not the best pickup line, I got to tell you. Not the best witness either. I knew who he was. I just didn't want to serve him because I was blaming him for my dad. 51 is still pretty young. 1 month away from their 25th wedding anniversary. I was mad. I took on that anger. Man. He never left me, church. He never bailed on me. He never said, you know what? I can find another piece of clay. You're a lot of work. You've got a lot of stone and you've got a little rock and you've got stuff. He never kicked me to the curb. Been there? Come on, if your salvation was left to a committee, you'd be voted off the island a long time ago. Right. Holy Spirit this morning wants to do a work in our hearts and our lives. Holy Spirit wants us to power up. Power up. Power up to be. To be. Not to do stuff. To be. Just relax and let the Holy Spirit lead you and direct you. He'll do that. And I say, thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Spirit baptism is not simply so you can speak in tongues. And that's not what it's all about. That's initial. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff. Church, in front of the storehouse or behind the storehouse, there's a warehouse that God has for you. And I say, thank God. There should be a character that's transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? There should be a change to empower. You know, Peter walked with Jesus for, what, 3 years? And was still a wimp. Okay, I'll go back over here. Come on, Peter, Mr. Spontaneity, right? Peter, whose mouth would be moving and then his brain would engage. That guy. You know anybody like that? Peter, who's warming his hands by a fire one night, and a little girl says, I know you. You're a Galilean. You and that Messiah, that Jesus, yeah. Oh, no. Okay, that was a rooster. Or a Ford on a cold winter morning. Can you imagine Peter every time from then on he heard a rooster crow? Talk about an illustrated sermon for the rest of his life. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Something happened to Peter in the upper room in 240 hours. 10 days, 224 hours in a day, 240 hours. Something happened to our friend Peter that didn't happen when he walked with Jesus. It's not a shot at Jesus. He learned from Jesus, saw some pretty cool things. But on the day of Pentecost, he was empowered. In that upper room, he was empowered. Church, you spend 240 hours in the presence of Jesus, something's going to change. Something's going to change. And his life was changed. You know how I know that? Because when he stood up on the day of Pentecost, the others actually stood with him. Come on, remember the few weeks before that? They're running and hiding. They're bailing here, running there, peeking out windows, doors closed. They didn't want to be hanging together. And now all of a sudden, in Acts 1, the word is used, solidarity. And the 11 stood with Peter in solidarity. Mr. Spontaneity, Mr. Open My Mouth, Mr. Chop Off the Centurion's Ear, Mrs. Head. They all stood together that day because something happened to Peter in the upper room where his life was changed. 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 Come on, church. We need to power up today. To me, you are the fourth man in the race. You have the baton, and there's no one left to pass it on to. I'm not going to argue with you in theology on pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I started a new one. It's called pan-trib. It all pan out in the end. Don't worry about it. Hallelujah, right? Live for Jesus. It's our job, our responsibility, our privilege to lead people to Jesus Christ. But the church needs revival before we're raptured. People need to know Jesus before Jesus comes back. That's our responsibility. And it's my idea that Jesus Christ didn't want to be away this long. So why does he wait? Peter talks about that last part of his chapter 3. He says you can hasten the day. You can hasten the day when Jesus Christ comes back. So again, Jesus has his hand on the doorknob of eternity. He's looking at his Father going, can I go get my bride? Can I go get my bride, Dad? Can I go get my bride? See, it's not natural to be away this long. I'm away from this girl months at a time, if you count it over the year. And when I get off the plane in Pearson, don't be in my way. I love you, but I'll hurt you. Like I'm going home. I'm going home. I don't pastor anymore. I don't have a church to run to. The kids have grown up. They got their own lives. The dog died. Sorry. I go home for one reason. To see my bride. It's not normal for a groom and a bride to be away this long. So why does he wait? Why does he wait? So you can grow more in intellect? So you can self-improve? You know why he waits? Because people need Jesus. Your son's not saved yet. Your baby girl's not saved yet. That's the only reason why you're still blowing his air and walking on his planet. Because people need Jesus. Church, he's given us so much. He's given us so much to reach the lost. Not just his son, but he's given us so many tools, authority, power to be, that you might be witnesses. First of all, to Jerusalem, which is your Bathurst. And then your Judea, which is the region. Christianity has to start at home. Because they know you the best. You can't fool your big sister. She knows it's Jesus. So then you're Judea, right? Places where you work, places where you go to school. And then you go to your Samaria. Yeah. The town that you don't like. The people you don't like. Remember the Samaritans? They were called half-breeds. They were called dogs, right? It was Jesus that went to the well at noon because the lady had to go there because she was the talk of the town. She couldn't go at night. Because she had a bit of a reputation. I must needs go to Samaria. Nobody else would do that. You need to be the Christian that takes on the nobody else attitude. You know that one uncle that never gets invited to anything? Because he's like Peter. His mouth is moving before his brain engages, and it's a real downer. Peter, an uncle who still has a soul. I don't expect the world to win them. I expect the Christian to win them. Okay, so the guy borrowed your lawnmower 3 summers ago and never brought it back. He still has a soul. They owe me money. They owe me money. They owe me money. Yeah? What's your point? What's your point? What's a soul worth to you today? We've all got burned by family financially. Don't get excited. They could be here this morning. Okay. What's a soul worth to you? You're Samaria. And then to the uttermost parts of the world. You know where that was for the Jews? Rome. I'm not going to Rome. Remember they kept asking Paul, when are you going? When are you going? Because he kept putting it off. They said, are you afraid? You afraid? Rome ruled the roost. Church, the first century church had no rights. They had no rights. Their money was worth nothing. They had no power. They had no authority. And they still turned the first century upside right for Jesus Christ. So we can sit here and beg and continue on about government and about we don't have rights, we don't have this. You think about the first century, they had nothing. They were controlled by death. And they still rose up to be what God wanted them to be. To the uttermost parts of the world. Hallelujah. Church, we need to power up today. Don't settle for initial when you can have fullness. Don't settle for just a language when you can have life. Life. Come on and stand with me. God bless you. Come on, worship team. Give me a little something, something. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you today, sir. We bless you today, sir. Father, I pray today we wouldn't settle for just language, but we'd be so consumed by the energizing power of the Holy Ghost. We wouldn't lose our identity. We wouldn't lose our authority. I wouldn't use the excuse, well, I failed. I'm not what I should have been. Stop it. Father, I pray we get back to the reproducing souls in the kingdom of God. I pray, Lord God, if we've lost our witness, we'd rise up and be what God wants us to be in Jesus' name. Church, I pray today, this morning, that we'd once again become what we profess or we lose our credibility. I don't mean to come across hard, church, but I've lived long enough to see the real deal. Seriously. I was in Honduras, and I finally got, after 5 years, they finally invited me into maximum security where I could actually leave at the end of the day. 18th Street and MS 13th on one side. We had chapel. If you didn't know Jesus Christ, their worship was like war cries. If you didn't know Jesus, you'd run out. The presence of God walked into that chapel in a prison, and began to move on those inmates, and they began to hit the cement. The guards came running with guns drawn because they thought it was a brawl, a fight. It wasn't. It was Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit just walking into that prison. Church, that was one of the best services I've ever had in my life. In prison. In prison, behind walls, gates, guns. One of the best services I ever had. Why? Because Holy Spirit showed up. I'm in the Ukraine in an abandoned building. They take me in there. The worship team stopped playing. I said, well, who are we singing to? Pitch black. Couldn't see a thing. And then over the minutes, I heard people moving out of the darkness and came towards the music. And here came the homeless, the broken, those that didn't fit in society. And they lived in this old abandoned building. And we had church. We had church. The presence of God moved in. My heart was melted. And I had to apologize for my stinking attitude. And I laid hands upon them. And we fed them. We fed them out of cellophane bags. But, Pastor, they were so hungry, they ate through the bag. They didn't try to open it. They ate the bag. They ate everything. But God moved that day. That was good church. I can keep on going and going and going and going on the presence of God because Holy Spirit is anxious to see people come to know Jesus Christ. Because there's a timetable, church. There's a timetable. I want to go get my church, Father. I want to go get my church. But we wait. We wait. But one day the trumpet will sound and the Lord Himself will descend. He will. And He'll come back for His bride. We the bride, will meet the groom in the air. It will go to the Father's house. It will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. It will be gorgeous. It will be beautiful. What a huge table. But until that day, we've got to be about our Father's business, empowered by the Holy Ghost. I don't make excuses for us today. I can't. Let's be what God wants us to be in Jesus' name. Power up today. You got a couple of minutes to come and stand with me around this altar before we pick up the kids and get out of here? You got a couple of minutes just to come and stand with me and say, Lord, I want to power up today. Come on and join. Just a couple of minutes. Just come and stand with me. Say, it's not my home church. That's fine. This is the best used piece of carpet in the house. I just want to power up. Come on. Be like Peter. Get your feet moving before your brain engages. Hallelujah. I just want to stand today. Say, Lord, power up. Come on right up. I won't hurt you. I might drip on you, but I won't hurt you. Come on. It's okay. I'm just going to pray with you. Just want to love on you. Just want to encourage you. I just want you to be what God wants you to be. In spite of all you've been through and where you're at today and our failures and all the stuff, in Jesus' name, let it go today. Stop looking through the rearview mirror. Stop. 7.5 inches of nothing. You've got a big windshield in Jesus' name. The best days are still ahead of us. Father, I pray blessing from my left, their right. I pray the blessing of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray blessing. Thanks for joining us, sir. I pray blessing over their lives today. These are portable conviction units for Jesus Christ. This is the church. I'm praying for the church today. I'm praying for portable conviction units in Jesus' name. I pray the blessing of God. I let go of the past. I let go of my present. And I push towards the future in Jesus' name. My hope is not in religion. My hope is in a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on, I'm not a religious man. I couldn't give a rip about your religion. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray blessing right up and down this aisle this morning in Jesus' name. Father, we fight for our nation. We take back the soul of our nation, one person at a time, in Jesus' name. The power is not in Ottawa. The power is here at this altar this morning. The power, we pray for government, Lord God, but that's not our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, whose government he sits on his shoulders. So, Father, we pray today that the everlasting Father would use us. Everything that comes into our mind says, I can't do that. I shouldn't do that. I'm not worthy. We let go of that today in Jesus' name. God needs your voice because people are dying and going to hell. I speak life over death today in Jesus' name. Right up and down this aisle today. Life over death in Jesus' name. I pray the blessing of God and the power of the Holy Spirit would flow through us to be what God wants us to be. I don't want to do stuff. I just get tired. I want to be what God wants me to be in Jesus' name. Father, we just covet today for the best that heaven has to offer. Not so we look better. Not because we can preach better or sing better or whatever. But because Holy Spirit wants to flow through us. I pray that today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Satan, you're a liar, you big bonehead. We take authority. We don't surrender it. We take it in Jesus' name. The devil will never surrender. He'll never ring the doorbell of your heart and go, hey, I've been a little rough on you. I plan on backing off. No, we take back what the enemy stole it in Jesus' name. We take it back in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we take back what the enemy stole it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, power us up to be. Power us up. Inside of me indwells everything I need. There's a river of living water inside of my belly today. I pray that river begin to bubble up and find an opening. That would be my big old Irish well's mouth. Hallelujah. I pray blessing over Jesus in Jesus' name. Blessing in Jesus' name. Receive today what's already in you. Receive today what's already in you. Come on, if the groceries are paid, I guarantee you'd pack up your grocery cart and put it in the back of your car. Hallelujah. He paid it all today, Lord God. Paid it all today. I just pray your blessing. We power up to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
A thousand generations.
Thank you, Lord.
Falling down in worship.
Good.
To sing the song of ages to the Lamb.
From my belly.
All who've gone before us, all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb.
Yes,
Jesus, your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all.
Yes, 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 yes.